Jackson Watt News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Easter Sunday, the 12th of April, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweil.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. All of those of you who follow the Roman calendar, whether you are Roman Catholic or something semi-similar, happy Easter to you.
We had a great Easter Sunday. The Easter Bunny was very good to us today. It was very fun.
Yeah, got all kinds of candy and
Easter
cookies.
Bunny came in here this morning.
Yeah. Easter Bunny came in here. We love us some Easter Bunny.
And those two lone carrots that will never get eaten.
You don't know that.
They look like they were here since last year.
Yeah.
All right, that's simply not going to work. All right. Let me start with our first question, our first poll of the week. It's the poll. This comes from, of course, a news item. Microsoft will issue 8 security updates on Tuesday, the most since October 2008, to patch problems in Windows, Internet Explorer, DirectX, Excel, Word, and the company's security software. 5 of the 8 updates will be labeled critical, which is Microsoft's highest ranking in its 4-step threat system. 2 will be pegged important, which is the next ranking down, and 1 will be marked moderate. 5 of the 8 updates will address flaws in Windows itself, with others tackling vulnerabilities in Internet Explorer, Excel, and the Internet Security and Acceleration Server software. 3 of the 5 Windows updates have been tagged critical, as have the IE and Excel updates. The Excel update is probably a patch for the vulnerability in the spreadsheet that Microsoft acknowledged nearly 2 months ago. Microsoft did not patch the Excel bug last month when it released its regularly scheduled update on March 10th, so you've been vulnerable for 2 months. The IE update will patch all currently supported versions of the browser, including IE 5.01, IE 6, and IE 7, which was marked critical for all editions when running on the Windows client. One of the 5 Windows updates is similar in that it has been labeled critical for all versions, including Windows 2000, XP, Vista, Server 2003, and Server 2008. And you know that that's a fundamental deep-in-the-code flaw if it hits everything, because there's really been, clearly there's been no real change from Windows 2000 on up if there's code that's similar to every single version of Windows.
No.
Tuesday's going to be a rough day for IT and security administrators as they wrestle with the biggest Microsoft patch day in months, and there's even more work for some. Microsoft will issue April's 8 updates at approximately 1 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday. So if you go to our website at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, you will see our poll there. It's titled Microsoft's Monthly Visitor. The choices are I always update immediately, I'll update eventually, I rarely update, I never update, does this come off my Time Warner usage cap, Macintosh Forever, and the Linux. Right now, we have 73 votes. Number one on the list is does this come off my Time Warner usage cap, followed by I always update immediately. More Linux users than Mac users. That seems to be the case lately. I checked last week, 346 people downloaded the podcast.
Cool. Wow.
That's a decent number.
Yeah.
9 of them in Japan.
However,
we're big in Japan. There's a t-shirt like that, isn't it? I'm big in Japan. I need that t-shirt.
What? One person downloads our podcast from Australia every week. Listen, wherever you are in Australia, thank you. God bless you. Tell your friends, will you?
Don't share it. Make them download it.
Australia's got crappy internet, but Japan has got really, really good.
You need all you people quoting us in Japan to tell all your friends. They don't have to download
it. A person that used to post quite a bit on our webpage, you know, and he was in Australia.
Black and Tan.
Yes, thank you. Maybe it's him.
Black and Tan, if it's you.
Get back on the bulletin
board. Let us know, man. Let us know what's going on with you.
He just dropped off and poof, gone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, so, yeah, it's going to be a big update this month, so be prepared. And you should update it. It would be a good idea. It looks like it's going to be serious. All right, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is John from Fairport, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Well,
happy Easter, by the way.
Well, happy Easter to happy you, Easter. You fine people. I recently decided to buy a flat screen monitor, and the one I purchased is a 21.5-inch measured diagonally.
Yep.
I brought it home and hooked it up, and the monitor is beautiful. Now, I have a number of different resolutions I can set using Windows XP.
Right.
If I set the monitor goes to 1920 by 1080.
Yeah, that's the key, is find what the native resolution of the monitor is.
Now, that's the one you should pick.
When I set that one, everything is fine, except the printing is very, very small on the screen.
Well, you can change that separately.
Oh, I can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the reason I'm calling.
Right. If you make your resolution different, the image looks bigger, but it's also fuzzy and blurry.
Well, and the other thing is, if you look at a circle, it's an oval on the screen.
Right. So what you want to do...
The other key thing, though, is have you updated also your video card drivers? Because if this is an older machine you're using, it, say, the onboard video card, or, you know... that came with it, or the drivers that you currently had with the, you know, the other screen, it was probably doing fine if you were doing 800 by 600.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden you jump up to these new resolutions and you haven't updated the drivers correctly, I've seen where just updating the drivers can help with some distortion.
And that's a pretty high resolution, so it may be your video card can't do it anyway.
But if it can do it,
well,
and
I
the
believe
only
the video
problem
card can do it because I get a beautiful picture.
Right, it's just the text is too small.
But
so what you want to do here is right click on the desktop and select properties.
Okay.
You'll see a series of things, themes, desktop, a bunch of tabs, right? If you select appearance, one of the choices at the bottom is font size. You can pick normal, large, or extra large.
Okay.
Give that a shot.
Yeah, that way you get the sharpness and the crispness of the resolution and the larger font size for those of us with aging eyes.
Right-click under properties.
Right-click on the desktop itself, and you'll get a pop-up window.
And
the bottom choice is properties.
Okay. Good enough.
And then under the appearance tab, you can pick your font size. If that's not good enough for you, click the advanced button, right? And you can pick various items, like your desktop, your icon, whatever. Some of them you can set the font, like, for example, with tooltips or whatever. You can set the font or the menu or the message box. You can set the font size separately, change the color, change the font, change the size.
Bold, italic.
Right, whatever you want to do to it.
Okay. I've got my desktop up here. I right-click.
Right-click on the desktop and select properties.
Yes, sir.
Got it?
Well, yeah, I'm just waiting for it to come up.
Yep, and then select appearance, and you can change your font size there.
Okay, it says...
Trust me on this one.
Okay.
All righty?
Good enough.
All right.
Thank you very much.
On the Macintosh, you can go to the View menu, choose View Options, and then you can change the size of the text and the size of the icons. I see that with a lot of people now with the flat panel monitors. They'll choose a lower resolution to make the icons and text bigger, but then everything is fuzzy. So you want the native resolution of the monitor and then make your text bigger.
And like you say, it also helps to just double check that you, especially going to one of these newer monitors that can handle the other resolutions, that your drivers have also been updated. Because like you say, you can get the size and look pretty decent, but the clarity isn't always there. And I found just by simply updating the drivers on that usually helps quite a bit.
Right.
And getting to the higher resolution.
Under GNOME, under Linux, if you go to Systems and Preferences and select Appearance, you have a font thing there. You can also pick Subpixel Smoothing and a number of other things that actually make it look much better.
Sometimes just playing around with it helps, you know.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah, but you got to play around with it, and you got to know where these things are and know how to do them.
Exactly.
That's how you learn.
So that's how you learn. All right. We are going to take a quick break because, you know, it's not just about computers. It's about the little economic dramas that happen regularly during this broadcast, and we're going to bring a couple of them to you. They're just a few minutes of pure monetary joy
and
brought to you. And entertainment. So we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, who
spoils us terribly.
Spoils us rotten. She's a wonderful human being and a credit to this whole dang place. I'm Nick Francesco. I am none of those things. It is 17 minutes, almost 18 minutes after the hour. You are, of course, listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
It is 21 minutes after the hour. Last week we talked a little bit about the Time Warner broadband cap. This week, Representative U.S. Representative Eric Massa, Democrat from New York, has put a bill out to curb tiers, particularly in areas where a broadband provider owns a monopoly on the service. So he says he's taking a leadership position on this issue because of all the phone calls, emails, and faxes he's received. Time Warner's Chief Operating Officer Landell Hobbs released a statement on April 9th expressing regret. And this is the thing I said last week. It's not what they're doing. It's that they really, they did it badly. They handled it badly. And this is what he said. They did not adequately communicate to customers their plans to initiate consumption-based billing trials. We realize our communication to customers about this trial has been inadequate, and we apologize for any frustration we caused, he said in the statement. We heard the passionate feedback, and we've taken action to address our customers' concerns.
They didn't think we'd notice.
Well, no, I don't know what it is, but that happens a lot. You think this is a reasonable thing to do, and you do it, but you didn't get buy-in at the other end. It happens with managers in departments. It happens with CEOs to companies, and it clearly happens with companies to the public. And that's, I think, the biggest thing here. They didn't get buy-in from us. They didn't prep us. They didn't tell about it. They just sprung it on us, and that's change makes people angry.
Well, especially in these economic times right now. I mean,
they said up front, though, this was a test market case, and they may be testing the communication
channel. But the problem is people didn't hear that.
And that may be what they're testing,
right,
is my point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so, wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see.
And the one thing that's a little worrisome in Massa's, the wording of his bill is it's unfair usage caps. Who decides if it's unfair or not? I'm sure Time Warner thinks what they're proposing is perfectly fair.
Well, that's for lawyers and all of that to deal with. You know, I think, you know, Time Warner, as I've said before, I was one of the beta testers for Time Warner. They provided me great, great, great service for many, many years. This is, at the very least, this is a PR disaster. They just, they did it badly.
Yep.
You know, they did it badly. And I guess all you can hope is...
they can't unring the bell on this one.
Yeah, they can't. They can't unring the bell. All right, and there goes the bell, but they're not unringing. Here we go. We're back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Greece, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
I'm trying to figure out how to measure my internet service, how much usage I have.
Yeah.
And I looked at your column today, and you mentioned several places to find meters.
Yeah.
Are the ones that you list after McAfee all the ones that apply to Windows?
I don't honestly remember. I'll be honest with you. I write these things generally fairly far in advance, and I simply don't remember. But really, do you have a cable modem?
No, I don't.
Then you don't really have to worry about this?
No, I have dial-up. I was considering going to Time Warner. I want to predict what my usage might be.
Well, you can't, not over a modem.
Oh, well, you can't
over dial. No, yeah, it's not fair as far as dial.
True. Yeah, it'll still record how much you're using, but it's going to be so little comparatively.
Yeah, I mean, because it takes so much longer doing it on dial up versus.
That's where I'm confused. When I went to download one of these things, it seems to be measuring how the speed, not usage. So
right.
I'm confused.
There are two types of meters. One meter measures your speed, and one meter measures your usage. And the trick is finding which one you want.
It used to be
the speed meters were also common because that's the bragging rights.
And I believe that's what I was talking about in this particular article. Again, I write them fairly far in advance, so it's unlikely I was talking about a usage meter rather than a speed meter.
Well, gigabytes, is that usage?
No, it could be speed.
Okay.
Could easily be speed.
So I can't know? Is that the answer to my question?
No. If you want to know what your usage is, there are several ways to do that.
Okay.
There are usage meters that you can put on your own machine, and there are a number of them all over the place. But what there also is, or are, or am, mm-hmm. I don't quite know how I'm... should be putting that. If you have, for example, a cable modem, if you have your own router on your system, it will tell you how much data has gone through it. So if you zero it out at the beginning of the month and check it on the last day of the month, it'll tell you how much data has gone through it. Now, you're going to have to do a little bit of addition because there's both upload and download numbers, right? So if you add those together, that's your total.
Okay, don't have a router. What's my to-do list?
Well, your Windows networking and in the Mac networking, too, it has its own built-in tables. It's harder to get at under Windows. Do you have to do it at the command line, or is there a GUI version?
No, there's a command line version.
Yeah, on the Macintosh, there's the network utility that shows you how much you've consumed since the computer has rebooted last.
Right.
So in Windows, it's hiding somewhere. Nick doesn't have a Windows machine at the moment.
I don't, so I can't send you right to it at the moment. But the fact is that Time Warner is going to have a usage meter of their own up. And I honestly suspect it will be very accurate.
Okay. But still, you can't tell me what to do, right? I have dial-up and...
Well, with dial-up...
Well, didn't we calculate that 24/7 dial-up is 40 megs or 40 gigs
36,
a month?
36 or 37 gigs a month,
So if you left your modem running continuously 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you would get about 40 gigabytes of consumption.
Okay. Okay, that's a start then, right?
Right, yeah. And that's with a modem. With broadband internet, you could get 40 gigs in a day.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
All right. There you go.
I rebooted my machine this morning, and what do I have now? I've got 100,000 packets in and 100,000 packets out. How many K per packet? Is it 1,500 K per packet? So you got to do some math, but it's there.
Oh, yeah. This was about...
You found it? I was looking on the DNC website to see if your article's up there today.
See, I write these so far in advance, and I write so many things for so many different places, I forget what I wrote where, right? Yeah. But this is about usage. Absolutely. And so there are a number of programs that will do that. The real problem with these, of course, is they are on a per machine basis. So if you've got five machines, you got to add up all five of those numbers. And of course, on any one machine, you got to add the upload to the download. Plus, that doesn't talk at all about ARP traffic. That's traffic between routers and on the network that you never see, that never comes into your network. So no number you get from your own system is going to be 100% accurate. And, you know, I can't tell you how much ARP traffic there is. There could be almost none. There could be a massive amount of it. Who knows?
Yeah, every time you see your cable or DSL light blinking, when your computer is not even on, that means traffic is coming to your cable or DSL router.
Right. So you can watch that little blinky light, and even if you're doing nothing, you can turn your computer off.
And there's still
you'll still see some blinky lights, and that's the ARP traffic, modems and routers talking to each other and saying, are you there?
Well, the other thing, too, some of these folks might want to consider, like, if they've got to check their email every 2 minutes. You know, that's
going to be a little bit of it, but that email is still going to come down no matter how often you check it. One of the things you're going to be finding yourself doing is cutting down on what you go to and what you do. For example,
a lot of the websites
that I go to read news or opinions or columns or whatever, they have streaming video on that site. When I go to the site, there's a streaming web ad. It comes up whether I want to see it or not. I'm writing those down, and I will stop going to those sites. So if you have streaming video or streaming audio, the TV stations who are all saying, you know, to see more, go view the full interview on the web or whatever. Got to stop doing that.
Yep.
Can't afford it anymore. So I think it's going to be a sea change for people. It's going to be an absolute sea change for the way people...
Or maybe Time Warner will realize that we all don't want caps and they won't implement
a cap.
Well,
like Chris was saying, though, you know, well, I mean, nice. Like they said, this is a trial. Hopefully this trial will fail.
That's from our point of view, we hope to drop.
Yeah.
For Time Warner's, I'm sure they hope it succeeds. But, you know, Comcast, which is, by all accounts, the single worst cable company on Earth, has a 250 gigabyte cap. That sounds pretty reasonable to me. It's still going to stop all the spammers, and it's going to stop the people who are downloading illegal movies and music, but I'm not affected at all by that. So a 250 gigabyte cap, really...
Reasonable.
It sounds reasonable.
But I'll have to shut down my BitTorrent.
Yes, you will. That's the whole point. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 31 minutes after the hour, and on this beautiful Easter Sunday, you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. I did this last week. We are Soundbites. Soundbites. On Wham. Back in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We have a guest on the phone, Mr. Dan Snyderman, who wants to talk about the Bar Camp of Rochester. Dan, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Dan. What's up? Tell us about Bar Camp.
Well, Bar Camp is basically this open ad hoc gathering of people where we can, it's open to everyone, and you can come and talk. It's mainly about technology, but everyone who attends must teach something to someone else, and you are taught something by everyone else. It doesn't even have to be a technical subject. I mean, we have people sign up to do everything from a zombie apocalypse to jQuery.
So nice.
It's a wide variety of topics.
So where and when?
This will be at RIT in the GSIS building, other known as Building 70. We'll be throughout the entire building starting at 10 a.m. Doors open at 9 a.m. And we'll go till whenever we're finished, even up to midnight.
Nice. So it's Building 70, which is, of course, the computer IT, information technology and computer science and all of that stuff. Building 70, GCCIS, the Golisano Computer of Information, something, GCCIS.
Yeah, that one.
It's the Jesus building, yeah.
The Jesus building.
Which is appropriate today.
Dan, I'm glad you called because I have some questions. There's a wiki on this on the net, and, excuse me, and the questions I have is regarding the scheduling of it. There, for example, you show when there's going to be lunch and there's going to be dinner, but is that on site?
Yeah, everything is on site. It's all free.
Are you saying the food is free?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm there.
Well, then we'll definitely be there.
We will also be having raffles and some other fun games going on. We have 10 books from O'Reilly. We have some Microsoft games, I believe.
May I suggest Twister?
Hey, Twitter Twister.
Twitter Twister, nice! They'll be doing it now, and you've lost the opportunity.
I want to claim a copyright on Twitter Twister.
You definitely need
to. All right, so excellent. Thank you, Dan.
No problem.
Have a good one. Good
and what will you be talking about?
I'll be talking about the history of robotics.
Very nice. All right, thanks.
How long should the talks be?
Oh, I think we lost him. Oh, no.
Up to an hour. You can make it shorter, a little bit longer. It's that fun with it.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is
Dave
from Greece. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hey, guys, good show.
Thanks.
I had something on my computer called My Web or My Web Search.
Yep.
And for about 6-8 months, I couldn't get rid of it. I finally did your Tango, and it appears to be gone now.
Yeah, CW Shredder can get rid of that one.
Although it took the better part of a day.
Yeah.
The
Tango is no longer a fast thing because there are so many well-written and very tenacious viruses that it takes a while for it to run.
The question I had was when I did my virus scan, it took 9 hours in safe mode, and that sure. Normally doesn't happen that long in unsafe mode.
Well,
there's a lot of times the virus scanners will do what they call a quick scan, and they just scan known areas like your Windows 32 directory, your system directory. When you do a full scan, it checks every single file on the hard drive, and that can be hundreds of thousands of files.
But now that you've done that and your antivirus software is updated, you should be able to run that in normal mode from here on.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go.
Bye-bye.
That's why the Security Tango as it stands is very lengthy, and then you get the email from Lori, and she gives you the shorter instructions for the day-to-day the day-to-day usage. All right, our next caller is Dan from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I actually have two questions, if you don't mind, but the first is on usage with the Time Warner thing. My wife, with her computer, she'll typically log on to AOL and check her email and so on, and then she'll open up a browser and do some work on eBay. But during the day, she'll walk away from the computer and leave those two apps running so that they're just right there when she comes back. Now, is that a bad thing with this usage going on?
Well, if in fact she's on an AOL page that has a running video or audio ad, then yes.
Is she using the AOL client or a web browser to get into AOL?
No, she's using the AOL client.
The AOL client keeps the connection open all the time.
Yep.
Always waiting to see new mail. So, yes, that will be usage. Every time the client checks to see if there's any new messages, anytime it updates the screen, that will be usage. Okay. It probably won't be very much because she's not actively going to a video site.
And downloading anything.
And downloading anything, but it will be a little usage.
Right. Right.
Although it's
usage is minimal, but it's still usage.
Right. Right. And that goes back to what we were saying earlier. If you check your mail once an hour and get 10 messages, that's the same as checking it once a minute and getting one message every minute.
Right. Right. It's not like you're getting fewer messages, but since there's more checking, there's a little bit more traffic. Goes in. Any mail? No. Okay. Another minute. Any mail? No. So that takes a little bit of your usage. Okay. So if you're one of those people who can't live without email, you're going to be using a lot more. If you can live with it downloading once every half hour, you'll save a little bit.
Right. Okay. Second question. I have a router that connects two desktop computers. They're hardwired. And I also have, at any given moment in time, two or three Wi-Fi devices. And quite often, I won't be able to get a Wi-Fi connection, and I have to go upstairs, and what I've been doing is unplugging the router, plugging it back in to reestablish the Wi-Fi connection. Is there any reason that that should, I should have to do that?
Your Wi-Fi router is dying.
Yeah, what model, what make do you have?
It's a Linksys.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. We've been seeing a lot of that on the net lately.
The audio's gone, Chris.
So, yeah,
I have it here.
Sometimes you can go to Linksys's website and update your router firmware in the router.
Right.
Yeah, and that can fix it.
Well, Dan, my partner, updated his to Linux. And he said, there's a patch there, you can do a flash of the BIOS and have it run Linux. And now his router is running so more efficiently, hasn't lost packets, hasn't lost connection. It's just working phenomenally.
Right, right. But at any rate, what a lot of Linksys people are saying this. How old is your Linksys router?
And that's
the other thing. These routers, they sit on and running all the time. We forget about them in the in the back room or in a closet or under a desk, and they wear out.
Mine just died, shut down, bang, done, finished.
That's the way you'd expect electronics to fail.
You would expect it, but don't forget, it's got a radio in it. The radio could fail separately from the wired section.
Yeah,
right?
But it doesn't use tubes anymore, Nick. They don't. They should just fail.
But even so, they use less expensive components.
There's more
let's
components
just put it that way.
That's
got to
be
it.
That can only be the explanation.
Oh, yeah. So, I went out personally and bought a Netgear router and couldn't possibly be any happier.
And now you can upgrade to the new N standard.
Right.
A 5-year-old Linksys is probably only B.
Right. I got BG and Y Max, I think they're calling it.
Well, yeah, that's beyond N. Y Max is something else yet.
108 megabits.
If I heard you right earlier, within the Linksys software, there's a place to go in and check the usage, the data.
All of them, and any router.
Okay.
You connect to the router via your web browser. That's all in the manual that you got with the router.
The what?
Manual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to say it too loud because, you're not allowed to swear on the air.
RTFM.
Right. Read the manual first.
All right.
So, yeah, definitely do that. Read the manual, and that'll tell you how to deal with that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
All righty. Thanks. Well, this is one of the things that I have to stop and say this. This is what I think really separates those of us who are sitting here on this panel from those of us who call in. We've read the manuals.
It's not merely that, though. Reading isn't enough. You have to study it.
Reading comprehension.
And understand it, yeah.
Reading without skipping, a few pages.
Right, right. All right, our next caller is Rick from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Fantastic show. I'm a second-time caller.
Thank you.
I've got an observation, a comment, a rhetorical question, and a real question.
Wow, and we've only got a minute, so hurry up.
Okay.
42, Des Moines, and the Archduke Francis Ferdinand.
Oh,
yeah, thanks. Okay, observation on last week's poll.
Yeah.
More than 400 people responded. Largest response since June 06.
Yep, you're right.
If you exclude the people who stated they don't use Roadrunner, greater than 80% indicated that they would quit Roadrunner. That indicates the level of ire, which I think is driven in large part by the fact that Time Warner's experiment is only being run in communities without any real competition. The rhetorical question is, what would happen in a community with uncapped BIOS? And the real question is, how much data would be used if you left a computer running 24/7, you don't run any applications except for auto updates for AV, Microsoft, and obviously DHCP communications between the modem and your net card.
Well, that's a lovely question, and I don't know that anybody has that answer because everybody's machine is just a little different.
And it depends.
You use AVG, I use Avast, whatever.
It depends on how big the updates is.
I have a partial answer. I have a pretty clear connection with Roadrunner Turbo, and I get pretty close to maximum speeds all the time, and I, with my BitTorrent, go through about 3 gigabits per hour.
Right, but you're running BitTorrent.
Yes.
He's really just talking about...
Plain
vanilla. And I don't have an answer to that, but I'll bet you somebody out there does. I will be looking into that.
Great, fantastic, because that's the overhead piece that you're paying for, that you're really not asking for.
Right, right. Listen, Rick, for the rest of your questions, hang on the line.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come back to you after the break because we now have to take another break. It is time for more of those small financial moments of drama that we have come to cherish here on Wham, and we're going to go and listen to a few more of those. So take that Zen moment. I know you can take that Zen moment to just sit there and think about those, and we'll take another break. We, of course, being Dave Enright and Steve Ray and the mighty Chris Reich, who every week, whether we want him to or not, comes here and records the show in order to put out a truly beautiful podcast, which is way more than we deserve, but God bless him, he does it every week. The mighty Alex Vanderweel, from this end of the table out, it's a terrific combination of talent in this building. I'm Nick Francesco, it's 48 minutes after the hour, we're Soundbites, it's 1180 WHAL. Welcome back, everybody, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, I think we still have Rick on the line. Go ahead, Rick, what's the next part of your question?
So actually, I think that's kind of it. So I will leave it up to you to answer the rhetorical question, if you can, regarding the experiment not having any real competition and what would happen if they tried it with BIOS in the area.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, we don't know what that would be like, and I'm not a business guy, so I don't know how or why they make those decisions. But, you know, the reality is that one of the guys in the... in the IRC chat, Annoyed says that he runs about 23 megabytes of housekeeping traffic per day. Of course, this is a server, so it's running DNS and TP. It's running time server and handing out other information and stuff like that. So,
well, I did bring up last week, we have Fios to the right of us, Fios to the left of us, and no Fios here.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how or why that works. The way it does. I don't know how or why they decide what communities to come into.
It's expensive to run the fiber, because one of the things about Fios is it's fiber to your home. It just doesn't go down the road. Right. So it's expensive to bring it in, and so Verizon has to cost justify. Will they get enough customers to justify the expense?
And they have to buy the right-of-way and everything else.
Yeah.
So it's not a simple decision. I'm sure they didn't make it maliciously. Our next caller is Rick from...
No.
No, we did Rick. We just had Rick. This is Alexi. Alexi, where are you calling from?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York?
Yep.
How about civilization in the Western world? That Rochester?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just wanted to call in the denounce Roadrunner for making this, changing the rules of the game for what they say is a quality of service change, but they're not guaranteeing any quality of service with their different pricing structure. What they're trying to do is change the way people use the internet so that their pockets get fuller, yet they're not guaranteeing any better quality of service.
Well, yeah, Alexi, two things. First, I don't know what they're going to use that money for. My hope is that they will indeed use whatever additional income they get to upgrade the service. And secondly, I don't really want to turn this into a complaint session. You know, this is not really the venue for that. We have a lot of others. There's a protest next week. There's people, there's stopthecap.com. There's all these other places that are, I think, better suited to that. Again, I'm an old hippie. I believe in giving everybody benefit of the doubt. On the surface, it looks bad. All I see is the surface, right? So I don't know what's going on in the background. And until I know, I'm willing to give anybody the benefit of the doubt. But I will say this, a lot of people are angry at what they see on the surface, and I think there's going to be repercussions. At the very least, this has become a real PR nightmare for
Time Warner.
And
like they said right up front, this is a test market. You know, it still could, you know, depending on how things happen, they could change their mind.
Right, it's a test, and if this test may prove to them, they better not put in any caps.
I think it's a poor test to find a way to change their marketing, their business plan. I don't think that's going to work.
It is possible that some people's bills may go down. If they are very light users, their bill could go down.
Yeah. I can't imagine who that person would be. But it's possible.
Certainly not any of us sitting here.
No, that's the other part of the problem, isn't it? The people who we hear from are the high-end users.
Right.
Right? And so we are the ones who are going to be most adversely affected by this. There may well be 100, although I can't imagine, you know, I keep talking about this mythical grandmother who only looks at email. But what's she going to look at in email? Pictures of her grandkids.
There goes her usage.
But I don't know. I'm sure there are people for whom a 5 gigabyte limit
or
will
they
be
just
more than a 10 gigabyte limit will be more than enough.
Or not, I mean, just only pictures. What if they, you know, all of a sudden get a clip of, say, their grandchild's communion or
first steps?
Yeah, or baptism, right, right, or something, because they can't.
All of that aside, it is certainly a possibility that there will be a vast number of people whom we never get in touch with, right, who really won't use any of that stuff. I don't think it's going to be as big a number as Time Warner does.
But
I could be as wrong as we think Time Warner is.
And that's Time Warner has said they're going through this 2 or 3 month usage test to see how much people are using.
Right.
Because most people don't know how much they use. Do you remember all the same arguments came out when they went from 10 megabit back down to 2 megabit to give average web surfers a faster piece of the 10 megabit pie.
Right.
And the very vocal minority, pretty much the same.
Yeah,
minority
same
now.
We're talking about now. Yeah.
And now we're back up to 10 or 15. So wait a few years and it will all come around again.
Yeah. And this is, of course, something else that the folks at Time Warner are taking into account. The reality is that you hear from the high end first on things like this. So we're seeing, you know, as somebody said earlier, there's if you look back at our last poll, there's like 100 million people who said, yeah, quit Time Warner immediately. Well, A, that's that high end. B, they say they're going to quit. That doesn't mean they're going to quit, right? And so there's a whole lot of who knows going on right now. And honestly, I suspect that this is part of Time Warner's test. If I were Time Warner, I would just be writing all this stuff down. I'd let it be passing over me like water off a duck's back.
Yeah, and one
because
thing
this
too,
is the stuff that
Jake knows.
They want to hear people complaining, but not here on this show. They want to hear it directly.
Yeah.
They want to hear people complaining. They want to hear people who are happy about it. They want to hear people who have other ideas. That's the stuff they're looking for.
And
that's what makes this a test.
And I have more to add about that.
This is a corporate decision, too. There's testing in other cities. It's not just Rochester.
Right.
So it's happening across the country with most internet providers are putting caps.
Right. Like we said, Comcast has a cap. Most of them have a cap, but it's not this low. But again, that's the whole point behind a test. So we'll see. I mean, I certainly think if you hate the idea or love the idea, you should let Time Warner know, because that's part of the test. Going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweil.
It is 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, we have an expanded show this week. We will be on until 1:30 when something comes on, sporting event.
Yankees?
Yep. Yankees baseball.
Hooray.
Tis the season, yeah. All right, so we are back, and strap yourselves in, kiddies. That's right. Get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style, and a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, for good or for ill, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
Oh, no problem. Let me do
it again just because I like it.
Thank you. Oh,
there you go.
There are both sides now. Hello? This thing on? Yep. Okay, Lula Bell. Got a good one for you, sweetie. You know, maybe you should take a few Q-tips to your ear and clean out the earwax. Because when I sit there and tell you, no, I can't do it, that won't change it any. And what I'm talking about is, I had this lovely customer. Since it's Easter, I'll calm it down a little bit. She brings in her computer. It's destroyed. Needs to be reinstalled. Now, there's two issues. One, you don't bring me the media. And second, there's no sticker on the bottom of it. So when I call you and tell you I need that stuff, you calling back 6 days later asking why isn't it ready isn't going to get it done, and don't get porked off at me.
Give her Ubuntu.
Because if I don't have your stickers and disc, I can't do jack. How the heck is it supposed to get on there? Well, I thought you could just put it on there. How? I don't have a key code. I don't make them up. And, oh, yes, it's illegal to use somebody else's. So, yeah, it's not going to happen
Guess
at
what?
Them.
You get to buy a new copy.
Yes, and don't get ticked off for me because, oh, one, it didn't come with it, or you lost it. Again, don't blame the, you know, the messenger. I'm only here telling you what is, and it is what it is. You didn't save the disc. You can't find them. Sorry if you got poor organizational skills, and I can't make up a key code to work with it. It just ain't going to happen. So get over it. You either buy another computer or, like they said, go out and buy another copy of it. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. And that's what you get for buying one of those stupid e-machines.
I got a call the other day. Have you got
it's a brand name. She might be able to call them and get replacement discs.
Yeah, they want her to pay for it, and she doesn't want to pay for it. Not my problem.
It's cheaper than a new copy of Windows, I bet.
Right. I did. I got a call last week it was. Have you got a Windows serial number? Yes, I do. Thanks for asking. Bye-bye.
Right.
I'm not going to share it with you. Who the heck are you? First, I'm not going to share it with anybody. If I was going to share it with somebody, it wouldn't be you.
Well, and then the other thing is, and they get porked off, is when they bring in the CD and it's got handwritten on it, the code, the key code.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Sorry. No, I don't care if you sit there and say it is, you know, oh, yeah, I got the original. But then fine, bring me the original because that's the only way it's going to get on it. Exactly.
Right. I'll be happy to use the copy because you don't want to scratch the original. I get that. But you got to bring me the original so I see it and copy the serial number off of that.
Yep. And the other ones that get ticked off because I had another one come in. And we're literally taking the operating system, moving it from one old computer to the new one. I totally disabled the second computer. They get them home. They come back, go, what the hell did you do? And excuse me? Well, I got my new computer in. That's working great. I go to pull up the other computer, and it's not working. It says Windows isn't there. Right. It's on the one machine. Yeah, but I paid to have it moved over. Yes, and it can't be on two
and
machines at once.
And I moved it over.
And I moved it over, duh.
Well, why can't it be? You only have one license. And it can only be on one machine. What part of that don't you get?
You paid for one, you got one.
Right.
You know, folks, get over it. This is the way it is. Well, that's robbery.
Well, no,
that's companies trying to make, what they call a profit.
That
is legitimate. You doing the law and trying to put it on two machines is against the law.
My article in Computer Link.
That was two stories I read this week. You know, we're all trying to save money in these tough economic times. So lady wrote in a tip to some column. The way I save money is when I go to a buffet, I get one plate and share it among all my families. So I save money. She's stealing from the restaurant.
She got arrested for stealing.
And then another guy said, I sold my car for gas money. Now that gas prices are down, how do I get my car back?
You know, here's a perfect opportunity. You got that second machine that doesn't have Windows anymore. Put Ubuntu on it. Yeah. Play with Linux a little bit. All right, kiddies, that's it. We're going to give him a shot. Hold him down, guys. Hold him down. Give him a shot. Kiddies, put your mugs back in the sink. Change out of your footy jammies, and we'll put Uncle Dave away for another week. And we got a few minutes to talk to John from Ontario. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. My daughter's home from college. She's got a Dell laptop with Vista Business on it. And the problem she's been having, and I had it too, is that she can use Firefox, and it'll be fine for three or four different web pages you want to go to, but then it just stops. It's not like the computer's frozen, but down in the lower left-hand corner of the Firefox window, it just has stopped, and you can't go anywhere until you exit out of that and then restart the computer. And she had accidentally put on the Zone Alarm Security Suite, thinking she was just upgrading the firewall, so I thought that might be an issue, so I
uninstall that and put the firewall back, but it's still doing the same thing, and I can't figure out what's going on with it.
This Dell computer, Dell adds an amazing amount of what we call bloatware, because that's the term you can use on the radio.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I took off it when I got it.
Okay, so that stuff's all gone.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like there's simply a problem with Firefox.
Maybe just uninstall it and reinstall it.
Uninstall it and make sure that you uninstall it completely, including
use
if you
Revo.
Have to,
yeah,
use Revo, and also go in and go into your application data, your name, whatever, all the way down into the Firefox folder and delete that as well.
Okay, yeah, well, I have Revo on there.
So well, Revo will get rid of even the folders. That's yeah. the one thing nice about it. The other thing is, hey, you also run malware bytes on that machine?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Very good.
I just put that on there.
Very good.
Okay, I'll try that. Thanks, guys.
Give it a shot.
Give it a try.
Night.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, speaking of which, next week, I already got another rant because I'm trying to be gentle.
That's nice. One week is...
Yeah. If that was gentle, I'd hate to see you really riled up.
I've seen him really riled up.
You pegged a compressor today.
Yeah.
This one is in reference, since we've been talking about college students.
No, college students. I love me some college students.
Be prepared, folks. You know, tell your friends. Is this one... Oh, this is a good one.
We have... Oh, I could tell you stories about
college. Well, sure, college.
No, 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 I can't. Some of them,
without mentioning names. Yeah. I don't mention, I do not mention.
That's right, I know you don't.
We'll do that at the party in September.
I know you don't.
So nobody can sit there and say, well, you talked about me. No, it's only guilty if it's you.
Yeah, right.
I do not sit there and mention a single person's name, and I will not.
Right. And you know how many times we get the same story from customers?
Right.
Everyone loses their disks or wants us to make illegal copies. It's not just you, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, exactly.
The list
exactly.
could be going on and on and on.
You know, if you feel guilty about something, you probably did something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's the way
it's just
is.
The way it is.
That's life.
All right. Researchers have discovered another feature of the Conficker worm that provides an additional clue about the intent of the creators.
Feature, you say?
Yeah. The worm installs malware that masquerades as antivirus software. The worm, which has infected millions of Windows-based computers on the internet, is downloading a program called Spyware Protect 2009. We've talked about these variants before. And displays warning messages saying that the computer is infected and offers to clean it up for $49.95. The infection alerts repeatedly appear, and experts are worried that people may be clicking on them and paying for the software just to be rid of the annoying messages, thereby handing thieves their credit card information. The fake antivirus program also attempts to install a Trojan downloader that is programmed to download new versions of Spyware Protect 2009. Now, however, that domain that it downloads them from has been shut down. The fake antivirus feature further bolsters the speculation that the motivation behind the worm is to make money and not a desire to disrupt computer or network operations. We've said this before. It's all about the money nowadays. Nobody does this stuff to count coup anymore or any of that stuff. They want money. They want credit card numbers. They want to sell something to somebody.
They don't want to disable the machine. They want to keep that machine running like old, where viruses used to disable.
Right. And remember, if you get caught by one of those, that's part of your usage cap. All right, we are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, the mighty, the wonderful Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 16 minutes after the hour, and for some unknown reason, you continue to listen to the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And in 19 minutes after the hour, let's get ready to rumble!
What was that music? It's the Omen music, but what's the name of it?
I don't know.
Doesn't... Because it's behind everything, so it doesn't say on your board, does it?
Right. We have a challenge in effect
this
right now. I own a Lenovo S10e netbook PC. The lovely and talented Ms. Alex Vanderweel owns an Asus EEPC 1000HE. She's going to bring it next week. I will have mine, she will have hers, and we will have some sort of netbook off. In some way. I honestly think they are exactly the same inside.
Well, she's got 2 gig of memory.
That's right. I did spring for that extra gig of memory, but I researched this netbook thing for about 3 weeks before I finally settled, and even then it was closed. So I think listeners will be interested because there's so much talk about netbooks and just how convenient they are and just how small and light, and I think they could use some more information about this netbook issue because there's the big two companies. There's Asus and there's Lenovo, and they're both pretty similar.
Right.
iFixit and Tech Republic both did a tear apart of the Dell Adamo.
Yeah, that's a pile of junk.
But they said it looks pretty on the inside.
Yeah.
Which is fairly unusual.
Who the heck
for
looks
PCs.
Inside?
Even Alex wouldn't buy it based on what it looks like inside.
No, I've been reading customer reviews up the wazoo, so...
Right.
Good girl.
And the doctor was asking, didn't I put Linux on mine? Yes, I'm running Ubuntu on my netbook. Alex is running XP on hers. That's going to be the major difference between them, actually. They're pretty much the same thing. We've got about the same drive space, the same RAM amount, the same everything else. So it's going to be pretty close.
You should try loading Mac OS on it and see what happens.
I thought about it. Don't tempt me. I
not
thought
on the
about
air.
Turning into a Hackintosh.
Yeah,
just for test.
Not
it's my job to test these things.
I'm not encouraging you to violate the end user license agreement.
No, and I would have taken it off once the test
for
was
test
done because I prefer
only.
To run Linux.
Yep.
So well, I have a prediction for the netbook off next week.
Yeah.
And that is that Nick's netbook is going to crash less often.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Because I'm running Linux and generally it doesn't crash generally.
Well, XP is pretty good about that. I very seldom crash.
It depends.
Like,
it depends
so
on what your
XP.
It really depends on what third-party programs you're running.
Yeah, but
it has
again,
a lot to do with
I run quite a few, and sorry, it's just as stable as your Linux. I don't care what you say, but it's just
it's
as good. I don't crash.
That's because you know what you're doing, Dave.
Yeah, there's that. All right, our next caller is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Yeah, hi, fellas. Listen, I run Vista 64-bit on my HP DV7. And Windows Defender is on down in the lower right-hand corner, and it's got an exclamation point on it.
Get rid of it.
I'd love to get rid of it. I went into Control Panel, programs and features. I tried to remove it, but it's not even in the list of programs to remove.
Have you tried using Revo?
I actually haven't tried Revo yet. I do.
Try Revo. As long as it's on the desktop. Yeah, Ken's on the desktop. It will show you there, and you will be able to install it from there.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Revo, I can't tell folks enough to use that instead of the Windows uninstall.
And so that works with Vista just fine.
Yeah, it works fine with Vista. And matter of fact, it even works with the new Windows 7 beta. Right. I've tried it even on that.
Yeah, I don't think Microsoft actually changed anything in the registry. So
yeah, apparently there is no program to do it with. You just disable the Windows Defender service in the services manager.
Right. But Revo just does such a great job of cleaning out all the registries. See, that's what folks don't realize. When you install a program and then we tell you uninstall it and reinstall it and you do that a few times, each time you do that, all Windows is so dumb, all it does is turn off a bit and it still leaves all those registry entries and the registry just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. So if you say take like a program like Microsoft Office, just in Word and Excel alone, it puts close to 3,000 entries just in the registry. Now you uninstall and install that a couple times. It creates those entries all over again, whereas Revo will literally go in and have you remove all the registry entries along with uninstalling the program, and then the last thing it does is also get rid of the folders that Windows puts in there. So it does a complete cleanup, not like Windows.
Well, Dave, what happens if those registry entries are left in the registry?
It just makes it bulkier and slower to run down. I mean,
and more easily corrupted.
Yeah, and I mean, it's more things that Windows has to search through to try to find something. So if your registry is that much bigger, instead of being nice and trim and slim, you know, trying to find a particular entries, now for Word, instead of going through those top ones, it's now got to go through that many more to go through. Because it's still got to check all the entries, and it just gets bulky, and I found machines run so much more efficiently by just, you know, having to clean out everything. It just does a better job of it. Leaner and trimmer machine.
Right.
That help you out, Bill?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much. I'm going to go burn it now.
There you go.
And actually, and I just posted a link too to disable the service. Since it is a built-in part of Windows Vista, it can't technically be removed, but you disable the service
and
run something else.
That's what they said about Internet Explorer too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so you disable the service and then you can remove the exe file that runs the service.
I still remember that, but they sit there saying it couldn't be done, but then the judge...
And then the judge himself did it.
Yeah, no, the judge's son. It was the judge's son, and he goes, because he asked his son, and the son did it, and the machine still worked fine. And that's what the judge brought up. He goes, well, I had my son, who was, I think, only 14 years old, uninstalled it, and it's still working fine. So what do you mean?
Yeah, right. There's something we should also talk about. There are a few more days left before tax season is over, so there's a couple of things you need to remember, particularly for those of you who are on one of those last-minute people. If you get an email from the IRS, it is very, very likely that it's a scam. Oh, yeah, and don't forget to put a stamp on it when you send it in. As the April 15th tax filing date nears, online tax-related scams tend to ratchet up, experts say. If you're not careful, you could lose a lot more than just the refund. Filing your taxes online is extremely convenient. However, if you want to maintain the privacy of your data, you need to ensure that you are connecting to the proper website, that the connection is using encryption, and that your computer is free from any malware. If any of these components are compromised, then your data are not safe. If you don't know how to do any one of those things, then your data are not safe and you shouldn't use an online tax preparation product. This is like going to the ATM to withdraw money and shouting out your PIN number for everybody to hear.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, right, exactly.
My suitcase has that same
All right, I think we still have, is this still Bill?
He had a follow-up question.
Bill is still on the phone. He's still got a follow-up question. I think we should talk to him again. Go ahead, Bill, what's up?
Well, the follow-up question is, well, you said to remove it with Revo, but then also you said I can't remove it, I have to cancel it. I don't know how to cancel that. I thought it was something that's in Windows. It's a service?
It's a service in Windows. It's not an add-on program, right.
How do you cancel it?
You go into your service manager and disable
under
the service.
Administrative tools, you'll find nobody goes into the administrative tools, but it's either directly there or under computer.
Right click on my computer and hit manage. I posted a link on our link list.
Is it
also
cancel or disable?
You disable the service.
All right, guys, thanks.
Yeah. Be careful in there, by the way.
That's what I say, try.
People get into there and they start looking around and saying, I don't know what this is, so I'm going to disable it. If you don't know what it is, leave it alone. It's probably something useful. All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, as always. I hope those of you who celebrate this Easter season have a blessed, safe, and happy Easter. It is 28 minutes after the hour. I want to thank the folks at Wham for giving us an additional half hour today, letting us slide right into the beginning of Yankees baseball. Those of you who have been looking forward to this is Yankee Baseball Day. Sit back, relax. It's on its way. I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites. Thanks for listening, and this is 1180 WHAM.